You're listening to my dad of a homeschooling mom.
Welcome back, guys, to Husband of a Homeschooling Mom podcast. The voice you heard at the beginning was my daughter, who wanted to be part of this as well. Since the two older brothers have made it in there, she wanted her turn, and, well, she got it this week. This is going to be part two of the podcast that we started earlier this week, The Next Generation. This was a time where I was blessed to be able to speak in front of my own church on the next generation that we as the parents, mainly the fathers, have such a critical role in shaping. So guys, sit back, relax for about another 15 to 17 minutes, and get ready to learn more about the next generation. Here's my favorite part of this whole thing. Verse 8. Then they would not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation whose heart was not loyal and whose spirit was not faithful to God. Now, if you tell me that generation hasn't already hit and we got some stubborn fathers out there that walked away and left God, you just tell me now. It's happened. We are there, people. But the thing is, we have a chance to redeem that and bring back a generation that will turn back to God if we as the parents will step up. And I know you're saying, Steve, you hit me with Old Testament. You know, Jesus has come. He's taking care of all that. I don't have to worry about that. It's Old Testament. Let's go to New Testament. Let's go up to the Ephesians. Ephesians 6, 1 through 4 says, children, here comes the part all the parents like, children, obey your parents as you would the Lord, because this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you, and you may have a long life in the land. And that's where we like to cut it off as parents. We're like, cool, we're done. You listen, you obey, we're good. Here comes verse 4. Fathers, don't stir up anger in your children, but bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Now, what are we as the fathers supposed to do? Bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Amen. Now, are you noticing a biblical pattern here that has something to do with the dads? Especially the fathers in this whole thing now. It keeps saying, fathers, 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 fathers. The fathers, let me tell you something. You are not to relinquish the biblical upbringing or being the primary teacher and the shaper of your child's future to anyone. Amen. Especially the church. Amen. Did you hear me? Especially the church. Amen. You know, yes, I'm your children's pastor. I get paid to be the children's pastor, take care of the kids, and teach them things. But it is not my job in life to be the one that mold your child's life. Amen. In the time that your child will be with me, are you ready for this? Between when they walk into the nursery at zero and when they leave heading to the sixth grade, they will spend 2.8% of their time with me in a matter of 12 years. 2.8% out of 12 years they'll spend with me. And yet you think, oh, Steve's got it covered. Guess who they're with the rest of the time? Yeah, they're in school. Okay, we can knock out another 23%. 23 and my 2.8. That leaves a whole lot for you. Hurts. It hurts me. Because this is where it hurts me. You think that I'm going to take care of your child and make sure they're saved. That's your job. Amen. So Number one is parents, educate your children. Number two, now I'm going to give you a little bit of reprieve here. The church is supposed to be a partner to help educate your child. Did you catch the key word in there? A partner, not the primary, not the sole, not the only one, the partner. And why do we need that? Sadly enough, I'll go ahead and tell you, I got kids coming to this church right now. Their parents do not believe in God. They do not believe in Jesus. They just bring their kids here hoping they'll have a babysitting time. That's the reason. Amen. It's hard to hear. It breaks my heart. But we do have parents to do that. We have single parent families in this church. that are taxed out, stressed out, and at the point of breaking, they need help. They need somebody to help them teach. I'm good with that. There's a wide range of abilities that both parents have, but yet they need some supplement. They need to have that little extra boost in there to help bring their child up. I have no problem with that. And even the best homes and the best teachers in the home still need reinforcing. I'm your reinforcer. I'm your backup. I'm your second line. You're first. Here are some examples of the church partnering with the parents. And this is something I'm trying to wrap my brain around about actually doing here at the church. In Deuteronomy chapter 31, verses 10 through 13, it says, Moses commanded them at the end of every 7 years, at the appointed time in the year of debt cancellation, during the festival of booths, when all Israel assembles in the presence of the Lord your God at the place he chooses, you are to read this law aloud before all of Israel. Gather the people, and they specify who? The men, women, children, and foreigners living within your gates. See, there's gates again, so they're protected inside again. So that they may listen and learn to fear the Lord your God and be careful to follow the words of this law. Then their children who do not know the law and listen and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land you are crossing the Jordan to possess. You know, sometimes, just like we're doing today, your kids can only get so much on a one-on-one, but sometimes they need to come together as a group, a body of believers, to see how things are really done. One-on-one works good sometimes, but usually things go better in a group setting. How many of you have ever tried to teach your kid how to add or tie their shoes, especially tying shoes? You've all tried to teach them how to tie their shoes, and you go at it over and over and over and over, and you're like, are you ever going to catch on? Then all of a sudden, somebody else or another kid walks up, and they go, oh, let me show you. And then your kid goes, oh, I understand. And they do it right from there on out. Sometimes in a group setting, another person comes along. You can beat your brains out over tying shoes, and somebody you don't even know comes by and goes, oh, that's real easy. Look. And your kid goes, oh. And you're standing there going, who are you and how did you do that? That's what he's talking about here. We need to come together and hear the word of God. That's the reason on Fifth Sunday I shut down Children's Church. I want your kids to come in here. I want your kids to be with you. I want your kids to see you as a role model so they can see, wow, this is how it's done in the big church. This is how it's supposed to go. In verse 13 there, 14, almost got you, Sammy. In verse 13 there, it says, the children who have not known. Now, is Moses making a presumption there that, you know, the men are just not going to do this, so every 7 years we've got to bring them all together so we can try to keep everybody straight? Probably not. He's doing what I said. He's bringing them all together so that you can feel certain things, you can see certain things, you can understand certain things in a large group setting. So, number two, the church is a partner with the parents, not as the only one. Number three, my last point here. The church helps equip the parents to educate the children. That's my job. That's his job. That's his job. That's Dave's job. We're here to help educate you to educate the children. Eventually, children grow up and they become adults. That's just a fact of life. They don't stop growing. They shouldn't stop learning. According to 2 Peter 3:18, where it says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and till the day of eternity. Amen. That's exactly what it says at the end. Amen. The next one. 1 Corinthians 14:20. Brothers, don't be childish in your thinking, but be infants in regard to evil and adult in your thinking. You know, eventually, these kids are going to move toward being parents and teaching children. And that is, they hope they continue to teach the Bible. Amen. And that's the calling of the church, is to do just that. For us to teach you, to teach your kids, so that as your kids grow up, they can teach their kids. It's a long-range thing. It's that thing I call at the beginning, the baton race, or a legacy. The legacy that you're leaving with your kids. Moses said in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9, only be on your guard and diligently watch yourselves so that you don't forget the things your eyes have seen And so they don't slip from your mind as long as you live. Teach them to your children and your grandchildren.
Amen.
Are you teaching to your kids the Word of God? This is something that goes over multiple times in the Bible. But so many times we relinquish that ability to somebody else that we may not even know. There's probably 10 or 12 of you didn't know who I was. And yet your kids are coming back there. I got your kids on Wednesday night, Sunday morning. And you're relinquishing the ability to teach your kids an educational worldview of God to somebody else. And you don't do it at your own house. Paul mentions in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 12. And he personally gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the training of the saints in the work of ministry to build up the body of Christ. Now, who are the saints? That's y'all. Who's the church? That's y'all. Now, the question is, are some of y'all really saints? There's a few of you. But did you notice he mentions five different people? Five people, there's four groups. First one, apostles, those sent out with a divine mission or task. They also served as a divine spokesman for God, bringing in new revelations and understanding to the church, us. You have the prophets who reveal God's will to believers for the present and predicted the future. You have the evangelists who are gifted to spread the word of God and to teach others to do the same. They proclaim the good news in the world and did it indeed. Then you have the pastors and teachers. Pastors provide oversight, comfort, and guidance as the church's shepherd, as it stated in Acts 20, verse 28. Teachers instructed and helped apply God's revelation to life to the church. Teachers were and are considered with passing on the church's revealed teachings. Revealed teachings. That means it's already been brought to God. It's already been testified about. It's been shown. It's been done. You're bringing revealed teachings. You're not going in talking about last night in front of your kids while you're in there doing stuff. You're not talking about how you don't like what Pastor Rex or Mark says. You're not going in there talking about what somebody looks like, what they're dressing in front of other people. You're passing along God's revealed teachings to the kids. So if you're in children's church or any other place, as far as that goes, be mindful of what's coming out of your mouth.
Amen.
Whether you like it or not, you are a teacher. Teachers are indispensable to bring up the church and are necessary to enable believers to distinguish false doctrine from the truth. But you know, how can you distinguish the false from the truth if you're not in God's Word to find out what's true? Man. We're never letting Steve come back. He's mean. I'm taking my kids out of children's church. If you do that, I hope you teach them well.
Amen.
The job of the pastors and the teachers are to equip the saints. That's you, to do the work of the ministry. And what ministry is that? The ministry of parenting. If you're teaching in Sunday school, Kid Jam, Mountain 252, Code Red, Dave and I, we're looking for you to be teaching your kids.
Amen.
So my third point is the church helps equip the parents to educate the children. Now, if you've listened to anything I've said and you've seen it up here on the screen, everything involves who? Parents, the kids, and the church. And it can be a hard thing because who's ultimately responsible? That's you. And me as a parent myself. I got my own three kids. I'm responsible for them. I don't look to Dave. I don't look to Mark. I don't look to Rex. I don't look to them and say, you take care of my kid. We're not a babysitter in class up here.
Amen.
We're a class teaching your children about Jesus.
Amen.
We're a place that wants to teach your child about Jesus.
Amen.
However, this starts at home.
Amen.
It starts at home. It starts with you, Dad. How many dads do I have in here? You just raise your hand. Dad, congratulations. You're the shepherd and pastor of your house. It is your job. It is your responsibility to take care of the kids in your house, both physically, mentally, and spiritually.
And that last one can be a hard thing to do. Because you may be sitting there and you're thinking, you know, Steve, my dad didn't give me that. I didn't have a father that brought me up spiritually and biblically. He wasn't grounded in the Word. I didn't have that. You know what? Too bad. That's no excuse. Because look at it this way. Did Jesus have an example to learn how to die on the cross for your sins and my sins? Nope. Nobody ever done it before. Amen. He was the first one. He was the only one. Amen. You know, Jesus had his own ideas and thoughts. When he was in the garden praying, he was going, Lord, if it be your will, I'll do this. But if not, I got my own idea. He said, but if it's your will, I will do it. He said, I'll do it. This is where us as dads need to take our will, put it to the side, and take on God's providential plan and will in our life for our children and start being the man we need to be for our kids. Amen. You know, Jesus went ahead and did it. He sucked it up and he did it because he looked long term. He looked all the way down throughout history to the point where we are today. And he said, we're worth it. And this is the reason your kids are sitting next to you. Look at your kid. Amen. And ask yourself this question. Are they worth it?
Amen.
That's the reason they're sitting with you. Are they worth it? Is it worth you getting up a little bit earlier in the morning so you can get in God's Word so that away at night you can have a Bible study with your family being somewhat prepared? Is it worth you going ahead and walking there at night and praying with your kids? Is it worth you getting up earlier while they're still in the bed going there and praying blessings on them before they start the day? Is it worth you trying to make a difference in their life by changing your own life and being a better role model? Because see, the things that you don't understand is it won't affect necessarily your kid, but it may affect your grandson. It may affect your granddaughter. It may affect your great-granddaughter, your great-grandson. Some of you right now may have kids that are out doing things that you have no control over. They're on their own. They look at you and go, I'm an adult. I'm out. I'm gone. Congratulations. And you're saying, Steve, I don't have anything to do with this anymore. I am done. I'm 82 years old. I don't have any kids I got to worry about. Wrong. Until God calls you home, you are still a parent to somebody and you need to be praying for that child. You need to continue to be a role model for that child. And you need to continue to show the love of Jesus Christ to that child, whether they're doing what you think is right or not. You don't need to condemn them. You need to talk to them. You need to love them. You need to show them Jesus. And when the light of Jesus hits them in the face, good grief, there's nothing else that's going to bring them to their knees any quicker. You don't worry about that part. You just go ahead and present them with the gospel and let it go.
Amen.
Now, Keith and the musicians come. I've pretty well said everything I need to say. And I say that I need to say You know, I sat down and I did three or four different sermons and started writing. And I come to find out, I can't do this.
Amen.
I can't do this. You know, I asked Rex time after time. I said, man, there's a fifth Sunday coming up. Hey, think about it. I threw away so many sheets of paper at my house, I probably killed two trees. And then I finally got to the point where I said, okay, you know what, God? Whatever it has to be, let it be your will.
Amen.
And at that point, it flowed.
Yeah.
Dad's. You may not know how to do devotion. I got some in the back for you. If you go down to the Sunday school wing, there's a bookshelf sitting back there next to the check-in thing for the kids. There's 1 month devotion sitting right there for you for free. They've been there for a year and a half. You want them, you got them. Those run out, you let me know. I'll find you some more. I want to educate you on how to bring up your child in a biblical worldview by you. I get 2.8% of the time, the rest of it's yours, and I want you to make all that you can make out of it. So when they become old, They can go back to the very first thing I said. One generation will declare your works to the next and will proclaim your mighty acts. Now while we stand, the musicians start to play. If you're ready, guys, to take that stand, if you're ready to come forward and do that, this altar's open. There's people here. If you're ready to make that move in your life, you're welcome to come down. People are here to talk to you. But this altar's open. If you don't know who this Jesus Christ is that I'm talking about, now's the time you can step forward and we can get you straight on that.
Guys, that wrapped up part two of the sermon that I gave on the next generation. I believe at this point you have a full understanding of where I stand on the husband's and the father's upbringing of their children. It's not something to be taken lightly. It was a God-given responsibility that we, as the men, need to step up and take a hold of and be prepared to lead our kids and our family into the next generation, to boldly go where no one has gone before. Until next time, guys, don't forget to give the wife a hug and the kids a high five, and we'll catch you later.